Responsibility. 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 Intimacy. 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 Achievement. 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 Advancement. 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 Determination. 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 Focus. Focus. This is my year.
Honey, so? What do you think?
Motivation, integrity, determination, synergy.
Come on, honey. You're not even listening to me. I mean, I have a poster and everything this time. This is perfect. I mean business. Jack?
This is my year. I promise.
Isn't that so good? That could not be more my life right there. That is my dreams. And then Amanda going, really? That's not possible. Some of us are dreamers. How many of you would consider yourself a dreamer? That you just dream big. And then how many of you would be on the opposite side of that, that you're a realist? And you just look at reality and you go, that's not such a good idea, Brent. That's my life. See, as dreamers, we think big and we think anything's possible. And then you realists bring us back to reality and you go, no, you hadn't thought about all the million steps in between that. And what's really interesting, as dreamers and realists meet, you know what happens? They get married and they're the perfect combination. And you're looking at that in Amanda and I, is that I dream really, really big. A few years ago, I had this idea, and this was not with Amanda, this was with another friend, and I was saying, you know, I want to run marathons. I maybe even want to do an Ironman, which is like a marathon, swimming like 2 miles, and riding a bike. And at this point, I rode a bike as a kid, but not like long distance. And really, like, I can swim, but I don't think I could swim 2 miles. And he's like, you want to do this year? And I'm like, yeah, that sounds like a really good idea. I think I could do that. And he just is crashing my dreams left and right. But that's the world we live in, that tension, is it not? And we think, well, we're going to accomplish so much. It's going to be so good. This is going to be better than last year. And that's why often my attitude is, so you're telling me there's a chance. And that's what I really look at life. I think there's a chance this could happen. Even if it's one in a million, I think we can do that. But often, that's tough, is it not? And often, I think breakthroughs, if you look through history of business, culture, organizations, typically it comes back to an individual or group of people focusing their minds and their hearts on, this is possible, is it not? That greatness is possible. Now, we're not talking on a secular level, because here's my hope for our community here, for this church, this group of people, not this building, this church that's a part of this bigger church, is that we would have great unity and diversity. I don't want us all to look the same and act the same and talk the same, because if you walk around Cashers, Glenville, Highlands, Sapphire, is there some diversity present? A lot. And my hope is that around Jesus and through Jesus, that there would be great diversity present here, economic, generational, and in a divided world, is it not? Very, very divided, that we would be united in Christ. And we have to make some choices there to be united in Christ, do we not? Because do we have our opinions and our agendas and our want-tos, our wish it was? Do we get settled on that sometimes? I wish it was, and we kind of get frustrated. But where do we come united on? In Jesus. And then we're a part of this intentional community that says, you know what? I want to learn from people that are not like me in that diversity. Specifically, I believe two of the biggest gaps in this area, and I've been here a little over a year, so I'm starting to understand it. There's a massive economic gap, is there not, in this area? And there is also a massive generational gap. And they don't converge much and mix and match. Where can that happen? Only through Christ. And that's my dream. That's my prayer for us, is that every person in this room, we engage that and we agree on that, that we are willing to fight for that, to be united in Christ, and that he, through the power of his Spirit, brings great unity in that. And he can do that. Do you know what happens? And we went through that already. Here's a thing that I read this year. I like to read. And sometimes I just read stuff that's kind of random. But this book, my wife and I have, and her family have been going to the Outer Banks forever. And this summer, we went to the Wright Brothers Museum. How many of y'all have ever been there? If you've not, I would encourage it. It's amazing. But I saw this book, and it was really thick, and I was like, I would love to read that. And I made it through most of it, and I still have a little bit more to read. But this idea that these guys, these two brothers, hatched up of, you know what, I think we can fly. And it's kind of like two little kids playing in the backyard going, you know what, this is a dream. And I'm sure there were many realists in this story that said, that's not possible. That can never happen. But how many of you have flown in a plane? These two brothers said, you know what? We believe this is possible. And here's what was true about them. They had no training, no technical training. You know what they owned? A bicycle shop. Big difference between flying an airplane and owning a bicycle shop, right? And you know what their hobbies were? They liked to watch birds and make drawings of the birds. And that's where they got their inspiration of, you know what? I believe I can build a machine that's going to enable us to fly. Now, man would go, the realist would go, you know, that's not possible. But here's a few quotes that just so struck me as I read this book. I think it's possible that we can harness the principles and dynamics that birds are harnessing and create something that man can cause mankind to fly. They believed. They believed we can do this. And this is what kind of the unity in diversity that they came around. What the two had in common about all of this was the unity of purpose and an unyielding determination that they had set themselves on this mission. See, I don't believe you can accomplish anything in life if there's not unity. Do y'all agree? Like, if we're not united on what we agree on and what we're going to fight for, you're never going to accomplish anything. And if they would have had that type of disunity among them, they never would have flown. But they believed, and they fought for that. And this is what the author of this book says about these two guys, is that the fact that these guys had no business figuring this out, literally that it was impossible, doesn't that give you encouragement for people to look at you and go, you know what, that's impossible. There's no chance. So you're telling me there's a shot? No, there's not really a shot. They had no business doing it, but they did it. And this is what their reaction to that. In no way did any of this discourage or deter Wilbur and Orville Wright, any more than the fact that they had no college education, no formal technical training, no experience working with any other than themselves, no friends in high places, no financial backers, no government subsidies, and little money of their own, or the entirely real possibility that at some point that they could be killed. Do you ever thought about that? As they dreamed about flying, as they're going up in these contraptions that they could crash? I know, like, I haven't tried to create a flying machine, but I've flown down a mountain on a mountain bike, and here's what I realize. It hurts when you crash. Really bad. So much so that now I'm much more cautious as a 41-year-old, where about 3 or 4 years ago, I was stupid, and I would just crash down, and then one wreck and bust in a helmet, I realized, you know what? I'm not getting any younger. I'm going to slow down. But here's one more quote from them. The United States government, and I didn't realize this until I read this book, paid a gentleman, Samuel Langley, $70,000. Back then, that was a ton of money to try to figure out how to fly. He failed. And then the Wright brothers figured it out for less than $1,000. Isn't that amazing that something small, determination, common mission, unity, what happened? Something great, something that has changed history. Now, I want to ask you this question, and then Miss Patty's going to come read the scripture, because I got a little bit out of order, but that's okay this morning. We'll just, Spirit leads, and He prompts our brains to remember. But what do you think is possible for this new year? What do you think is possible for this new year? Because this is the time of year that we think about resolutions, and then in February, they're all gone, right? And we've forgotten every one of them. But let's ask a better question. Let's ask a better question. What do you think, what does God think is possible for the new year? Better question, right? Through God's perspective, what does He believe that is possible for this new year? Now, Miss Patty's going to come read our scripture, and then I'll continue.
The scripture is from the book of Galatians, chapter 5, starting in verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things that there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another, envying one another. And this ends God's word today.
So back to this question. Thank you, Miss Patty. What does God think is possible for you this new year? I want you to reflect on that for a moment. Because we all have things that we would like to change, do we not? And this time of year, it becomes very, I guess, relevant to us to think, you know what? I would like to change this. But let's move that question to the side and just ask, what would God want to change in our hearts, in our souls? And this question has been on my mind yesterday, and it's going to come up on the screen. Who are you becoming? Yesterday, I had the joy of marrying this young couple. And hopefully in the future, you'll hear a little bit about their story because it's just so impacted me. But I met this young lady when she was in middle school, sixth grader, and she was a part of our student ministry. And to see her married yesterday was really surreal to me, but such a joy. But in our counseling time, I always took them back to this question. Instead of focusing on trying to make your partner be something that you would like for them to be, focus on who you're becoming. And then what's really crazy is that will change them because they will see God working in and through you. So often in relationships, we want to change people. But if we can just flip that and go, who am I becoming? Who is God changing me on the inside? God takes care of the other person because I don't know if you've realized it or not. We can do very little to change people, can we? It takes something supernatural inside of us to change. So the question I kept asking them over and over again, focus on who you're becoming as individuals. And here's what God's going to do supernaturally is you're going to become one person. And it's so beautiful yesterday to see that and just to see the joy of a mom and dad whose hearts were centered on Christ, that they were marrying their first daughter off of two. And it was kind of intimidating to me as a dad because I look at my daughters growing up really quick and I was like, no, it's happening really fast. Because this girl's probably 21, 22. And I'm like, I start counting and doing math in my head and I'm like, ugh, got a headache. I need to go sit down. But who are you becoming? And let's ask this question and get really, really, like, we'll kind of peel back the layers here. And this is uncomfortable. Do you like change? How many raise your hand in the room today if you like change? There's like the minority, definitely. I don't like change. Amanda will tell you, she can fly by the seat of her pants and enjoy that life. But I enjoy structure. I enjoy especially knowing what is coming. And if I don't know that, I handle it super well. It's not my best thing. But I've been on this journey for the past few years that God has changed a lot in my life. And things that I didn't want changed, that I kind of had this death grip on, saying, God, I know where I'm going, what I'm doing. And then God brought this thought to me through reading the book. Jesus has a different vision of maturity. It's the ability and willingness to be led where you would rather not go. How many of you are good at being led where you would rather not go? It's kind of hard, isn't it? See, I look at the story that Zach's telling us, that's a heart that's been so captivated by saying, Jesus, you send me where you want to send me. And he's captivated his heart with the people that need Christ. Now, none of us in the room would say, yeah, sign me up for that. That's where I want to go. But we don't get to dictate those terms, do we? See, spiritual maturity is this openness to say, God, you lead me wherever you want to send me. wherever that may be, I am willing to go. But that's hard, is it not? To open yourself up to say, God, it may be uncomfortable. It may be difficult. It may be hard. But whose power are we relying on in those moments? So often it's our own mind, our own thoughts, our own plans. But when it becomes supernatural, God leads us in supernatural ways. He provides in supernatural ways. And that's why I believe a big deal with us, God, what do you want to do in my life this year? It's being this openness to being led where you would rather not go. And it comes down to a really important question. Do you believe you even need to change? Because some of us get set in our ways and we're like, you know, I'm good. I can just coast here. I've done this for however many years. I can continue to do this. But no matter where you're at in your age bracket, there should be this desire as you look at yourself and you look at this great God, that there's this desire in your heart that he wants to change you from the inside out, that you've not arrived, because none of us are perfect, right? We all have our moments. That's a flesh-driven thing, as Miss Patty talked about just a moment ago reading the word, that it's obvious when that happens. That was a lot more of Brent, a lot less of Jesus in that moment. We've all had those moments, right? Where we look back and go, ugh, that was not so good. But do you believe that you need to change? Do you believe God has the power to change you? Because you may say, Brent, I'm too far gone. There's too much water under the bridge. But this is an all-powerful God that can do anything, literally can do anything. Do you believe that he can change you, even if you're stubborn, even if your heart's a little hard, even if you're like, eh, not going to do it? Do you believe that God can change that? I do, with everything in me. And remembering that change is not easy, that we don't enjoy change. I came across this quote, and I thought this was really relevant and funny today. It's going to come up. It's by Mark Twain. The only one who likes change is a wet baby. Isn't that so true? That's all of us. None of us like change. Only a wet baby likes that, and everybody's pleasant. Jacob and Janae can really relate to that. When baby gets changed, baby's good. So back to this question, just for a moment, and then we're going to look at God's word for just a little bit more. What do you believe is possible for this new year? This is my prayer. This is my hope for us, for me, corporately as a body, that this is what is possible through God's Spirit working in and through us. And that's going to come up on the screen. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If that came gushing out of our hearts and our souls and our lives, and when people saw us, they saw that, would that not be so good? And you're like, Brent, that's a lot. Would that not be? But let's ask this question, and let's think about this. Do you think or want to see more of these in your life today? Would you like to see a little bit more of that? I think we all would. And what's crazy about that list is typically every New Year's resolution flows through that list. And Dad, if you'll put it back up for just 1 second. Think about New Year's resolutions. They all fall under this category that most of them deal with self-control. I want to spend money more wisely. I want to lose a little bit of weight. I want to be more disciplined. But they all flow through that list. But let's look at it through this. And this is where it gets a little bit uncomfortable and a little bit difficult. What about not what you want out of that list? Well, I'm going to choose this. What would your close relatives say? The people that are closest to you, your wife, your friends. Which one would they choose? Well, Brent, you need to work on this. That's when it gets a little uncomfortable, doesn't it? Of saying, putting up that list and saying, which one do I need to work on this year? And I think that's an incredible question. And I'll tell you mine. And I haven't asked my wife yet, so I need to follow my own message this morning. But I think she would probably agree that gentleness is what I want. And I've told my girls that on the way home last night. And we've at this wedding all day yesterday. And like our house is this open thing right now that you really can't hide much. It's just this open concept. Upstairs bedrooms kind of open to a loft. And I'm tired, so I lay down on the couch and go to sleep. Where our dog is just crazy. He's just certifiably crazy. He's a good dog, but he drives me crazy sometimes. And anything that is not gentle in me comes out on him. Well, he's just acting a fool upstairs. I'm fast asleep. He wakes me up, and I love that. I love to be woken up when I'm sleepy and just abruptly. And those are my best moments. Those are moments that I need to be controlled by the Spirit. And I just had this conversation in the car on the way home of girls, Dad needs to be more gentle. I want to be just like Jesus in me, more gentle. And here comes this dog cutting curves. And it's about 10 o'clock. And I just wanted to kick him outside and just say, Bear, have a little bit of a snack and everything will be good. And it just, whew, it's tough. But I begrudgingly tried to be as gentle as I could. But isn't that hard? Don't you have moments like that? That those questions, and Dad, if you'll go back to those next few slides for me, if you don't mind. But what would God want to have? And let's just read over this again. This is Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. And just ask that question. God, ask the people around you, but also the most important question, ask God, God, which one is a weak area in my life? What could you do? Because we want to be led by the Spirit. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Everybody sees that. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition. We can tell when somebody's selfish. Dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's kind of a scary thing, right? That those obvious, consistent things in our life, we won't inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, meaning that Jesus in us, working through his Holy Spirit, is going to produce something in us that's different. You can't hide it. If Jesus is active and living in your life, it's just going to come out of your heart. It's going to ooze out that he has to be there. The fruit of that Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, mind, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. See, God, I believes that any of those changes are possible in your life only through, not you trying harder, but through you leaning into your relationship with him and saying, God, create in me these fruits. Change this. And like I said earlier, which one? Ask a spouse, ask a friend, ask a group. Ultimately, ask God. And focus on who you're becoming. Because God desperately wants to change you. And this new year, there's immense things that are possible through God's perspective. But we must keep that perspective, because here's what I'm continually reminded of, is that my perspective, my thoughts are not God's thoughts. God's thoughts are not my thoughts. And I have to continually say, God, you know what? I want to lean not on my own understanding, but in all my ways, acknowledge you. Focus on who you're becoming, because we all have irritants, right? People that irritate us. How many of y'all have people that irritate you? Hopefully they're not present in the room. But here's what I realize. I can't control them. I want to control them, and I want to change them, but maybe it's like the speck in the log that I need to look at my own life and say, God, you know what? Who am I becoming? Who are you changing me to be versus me wanting to control everybody around me? I read this in a devotion this week, and I thought it was so profound. All our promises and resolutions that we make in the beginning of the year end in denial because we have no power to accomplish them. Isn't that so good? This is Oswald Chambers, and my utmost for his highest. When we come to the end of ourselves, not just mentally, but completely. Have you come to the end of yourself? Where you just say, God, I need you. I need your power. Everyone in here, whether you're a Christian, not a Christian, follower of Jesus, not a follower of Jesus, you have to come to the end of yourself and say, God, I need you. Not just mentally, but completely, we are able to receive the Holy Spirit. The idea that of invasion, that struck me. This idea of God, the Holy Spirit, invading every area of your life. Isn't that an amazing thought that Oswald Chambers said years ago, probably 100 years ago, that every area of your life, the Holy Spirit invading that, you surrendering control to say, God, here you go. Here's my life. You're in control. Because it'll be obvious if God's in control or if you're in control. If you're submitting to him and surrendering, saying, God, I'm giving up control. I've come to the end of myself. God, here's my life. I'm surrendering. But that's intimidating, is it not? especially for those of us who like control, that we like to know what's coming. But remember, what is spiritual maturity? Being willing to be led where you would rather not go. Because I think often we paint this really cushy picture that we think, well, I'm going to be spiritually mature. It's going to be all kicks and giggles. Everything's going to be really good. If I follow Jesus, it's going to be easy. But when we hear the opposite of, you know what? Spiritual maturity for me may be going through some difficult times. Because here's how God breaks back our hearts. It's through hard times where we have to lean in and say, God, you know what? You've got better understanding than I do. I'm willing to lean into that. When people see you right now, what do they see? It's a great question to think about. When people see you on an everyday basis, what do they see? What is obvious to them? Is it Jesus? Is it the fruit of the Spirit? Or is it something else? I'm going to finish with a scripture. This is what Jesus says himself about the fruit of the Spirit. Watch out for those false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. They will rip you apart. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. Isn't that so good that by our fruit, you will be able to recognize them? So what do people see when they see you? Do they see you and that selfish ambition, those things that come oozing out? Or do they see Jesus? Now, we all have our moments, like I had last night, where I'm like, I do not want to be gentle. But what one fruit could you say, God, show me, reveal to me, ask people? Because we have to have this openness, this willingness to go, Jesus, show me in myself what I can't see. Because are we all knowing? Do we see our faults? Do we see our blind spots? Nope, we don't. Because we all have them. That's why we ask the ones we love the most, because they see us at our worst. And my prayer for us is that we get to the spot that we want to abide in the vine, that we want to listen and realize that we need to change. The only way that change is possible is not through trying harder. It's by saying, you know what? One, I need to be a part of a community where we learn and grow together. So church is central to that. But then the second part is we have to put ourselves into God's word and say, God, speak to me. I need to hear from you. That starts at church, but it has to carry on that we read God's word. And then as we digest that, then God begins to change us. And then the fruit begins to come out. And you're like, why was I kind when I'm normally not kind? Why was I giving when I normally wasn't giving? But it focuses on who you're becoming. God does that. And maybe you're just at the point in your life that you have to come and say, you know what, God? I just got to surrender to realize that I'll never be good enough, because any of us will never be good enough. Do you realize that? That it's only God working in our lives that change is possible. And some of you, maybe it's surrender of just saying, Jesus, I need you. I'm facing something right now that only I can face with somebody else. And it's surrendering your life and saying, God, I need you. Forgive me. I've messed up. I'm a sinner. And it's hard to admit that, but it's so true, because my mom and dad didn't have to teach me how to do wrong. It came very natural. It did. And it's funny, but it did. And that's true for every one of us. And it's just this desperate need that we have to remember that we need Jesus, and we need him more today than we've ever needed him. And it's just acknowledging, God, I need you in my life. So my hope for this year is that we don't have these bold dreams that we think, God, I'm going to accomplish all this. That we just kind of drop back and go, God, will you work in me? And will your fruit produce in me that people recognize that there's something different in me, that it's only Jesus can do that? But ask those questions. Sit down with your family, with your friends, with a group and go, what do I need this year? And I promise you, they'll have an answer. You may not like it, but they'll have an answer. But receive that with such joy to say, God, I want next year to be more like you, because I've opened myself up to being willing to be led where I would rather not go. Let me pray for us. Jesus, I thank you for this time. And I thank you for this privilege that we get to do life together. I look around this room and it, Lord, just what you're doing It's so obvious to me that the fruit of the Spirit is so present in this room. And Lord, I just thank you for that. And Lord, I thank you for your movement within your church. And Lord, I pray that you continue to change us and make us more like you, Jesus. This year, when we're standing here next year, God, we want to be changed. We do not want to be the same, God. Break into your heart. Help us to be more like you next year than we are this year. Lord, that's only possible through us coming to the place that we surrender all to you. Lord, I thank you for your work and grace in our lives because, Lord, we are so desperate for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.